Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf in the Ches and Avodah Zarah, and we're in the world of Yayin Nesech. We're going to be in this world of Yayin Nesech for a little bit of time. Everyone sit down, get comfortable, enjoy. We started in Yayin Nesech back on Nun Hamad Aleph in the Mishnah, and the Mishnayos talk about stamping on the wine together with the non-Jew and other various cases, and then the Gemara is just, they're going to give us case-by-case studies of what to do and how to handle Yayin Nesech. So let's just, again, go through a quick overview. Yayin Nesech is wine that's touched by a non-Jew is prohibited. There are two levels of prohibition. There's Asur B'Shtiyah and Asur B'Hanah. Not to drinking, not to get benefit from it. Now, why are you not allowed to get benefit from it? So the reason why is because of a concern that the non-Jew was menasech. He did libations for his Avodah Zarah. We know that everything that is takrovas Avodah Zarah, anything that's offered to Avodah Zarah, is asur b'hanah, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So when the non-Jew touches it, and you see that he does some sort of agitation with the wine, so the concern is, the serious concern is that he was menasech, he did an act of nisach, and therefore the wine is going to be asur b'hanah. A lot of the discussion that we're having in the Gemara revolves around, what if he touches it, but you kind of get the sense that it wasn't for Nisach. Or what if he touches it, but he doesn't touch it with his hand? He touches it with his feet. So,
or
as we discussed yesterday, with a palm frond, maybe. As the Girsan Rashi had in the Gemara. So then, there's an argument that you could say that it's not going to be asur b'hanah, that you're not allowed to get benefit from it. But, remember, you're not allowed to drink it. It's still asur b'shtiyah. Because as we discussed yesterday, and really it's a common theme throughout the whole discussion of Yayin Nesech, Yayin Nesech is really based on two concerns. One concern of Yayin Nesech is a concern of Nisuch, of libation for Avodah Zarah. But there's another concern, which is Chasnus, which is intermarriage. So despite the fact that you know that they didn't do Nisuch, but still, there's issues of intermarriage, and so therefore even if they didn't do Nisuch, but they touched it, so then there's going to be an Isur Shtiyah, much like what we find by Bishul Akum. Right? They cook food. Right? Even though, you know, all the ingredients are kosher, they cook it, the food is also because of chasnus. Right? We talked about oil. We talked, right, various things that were prepared by a non-Jew, you can't eat because of chasnus. So here also, by wine, there's certainly going to be an issue of chasnus. Okay, so that's just a general overview. Let's go back to a point yesterday that we made. I just want to share with you a little bit of the Rishonim. You see, I told you, these dapim of Yayin Nesech are great dapim in the Daf Yomi cycle, because they're short dapim. And the reason why they're so short is because Tosfos has so much to say about this. And now it's going to be very interesting. I'll share with you some of the comments that Tosfos makes throughout these pages of Gemara, because really what he tries to deal with is, what happens nowadays when the Christians go ahead and they touch our wine? What becomes of that? In other words, is the wine going to be asur b'hanah? Now, I know, in other words, this deals with the general question, is Christianity considered avodah zarah? That's a general question. But even if we could put that question aside for, you know, never, and never come back to that question, because it's not something that, you know, it's just not a comfortable conversation. But aside from that, in other words, you can also make the argument that Nisuch, like a libation, they don't do that, right? That's not something that's done in their world. Yes. So take a look.
Yeah, chasnus,
but there's still issues of chasnus.
So even with Arabs, I mean, it would be the same.
Correct. So let's take a look. Take a look at Tosfos over here. And again, it's a strange way to start a Daf Yomi, to start with a Tosfos. But I'm just showing you from yesterday's Daf, where, you know, where some of this conversation takes us. You remember yesterday in the Gemara we talked about Tinek ben Yomo, right? Rav made the statement that if you have a child who's a day old, he's an infant, right? You have a child who's a day old and he touches wine, the wine according to Rav is going to be aser. Right? Tinek ben Yomo ose yayin esech, a day old child is going to make yayin esech. That is the opinion of Rav that we saw yesterday. Now, even within Rav's opinion, it doesn't mean it's going to be aser b'hanah. He doesn't know how to do Avodah Zarah. It just means that you're not allowed to drink. It's asur b'shtiyah. Right? Okay, remember that?
Right.
Took a look at Tosfos now. On the big Tosfos on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Right? La'afuki midrav da'amar tinak ben yomo. Now we're not going to go through all this Tosfos. I'm just showing you highlights. Highlights within Tosfos. So in that big Tosfos, it's the bottom Tosfos on the page. It's the very large one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down in that Tosfos. The line starts with the words Tahar Debashal So from Halacha Chameko, and go to the end of the line, which says Od Pirshu Rashbam Beharivan. Okay? And in Tosfos he writes the following. He quotes the Rashbam and the Rivan. Rashbam is a grandson of Rashi. Rivan is a son-in-law of Rashi. And they both quote B'shem Rashi Shekasa B'tshuvas HaGaonim. Now here, he's quoting Rashi, quoting the Gaonim. So this is old. This is, you know, Rashi is the first Ashkenaz, which isn't true. But in other words, he was the patriarch of the Ashkenazic family. And Rashi over here is quoting the Gaonim. So this is pretty old. Ki bezman hazeh, ein iser hana b'maga ove kochavim b'yayin. If a non-Jew touches wine, there's no iser hana. Quoting in the name of Rashi, quoting in the name of the Gaonim. Okay, why? Ki ovde kochavim shal achshav, ein regilim lanasech lavos kochavim. They don't do this anymore. Goyim don't do nisach anymore. So therefore, quoting the name of Rashi, if they touch it, it's not aser b'hana. It is still aser b'shtia, you're not allowed to drink it, because remember, there's the intermarriage issue, but it's not aser b'hana. V'chashuvim ke'en yodim b'tiv avodis kochavim misham sheha. You know what it's like? It's like when the Gemara says that they don't know about avodah zarah. They don't know about Tiv Avodah Zarah. They don't know about all the details of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara was describing it in terms of a child. Right? A child doesn't know Avodah Zarah. So Rashi is saying in the name of the Gaonim, you know all the non-Jews that we live amongst? They're like children in terms of Avodah Zarah. They don't know. They don't really know Avodah Zarah. We don't speak Avodah Zarah anymore. V'havlu ketinuk ben yomo. Look at the next part of this Tosfos. It's so interesting. Let's say we have accounts receivable, and we have collections that we have to make on the non-Jews. So you know what we'll take as payment? We'll take wine. We'll take their wine as payments. Now you'll say, that's crazy. How could you take the wine as payments? The wine is also b'ana. So Rashi says, no, it's not. We're not allowed to drink it. So what we'll have to do then, of course, is we're going to have to turn around, we're going to have to sell it, but at least as form of payment, if they say, look, you know, back in the good old days in France and Germany, we're now talking France, Germany, 1200. Right, 1100s, 1200s, all right, Rabbeinu Tam is already 13th century. So,
but if he was quoting the Gaonim, what period of time was that?
Right, that's a good question. I don't know which Gaonim he's referring to, I don't know. And the Gaonim are generally not Ashkenazim, they're not, you know, in the French Germany area, I don't know. That's a good question. But anyway, we're going to go collect wine. And then there was a letter sent from the Ri. Ri is a later Balei Tosfos, and he sends a letter to Rabbeinu Tam. Not that much later. Rabbeinu Tam is the grandson to Rashi. So, and the letter goes like this: Tachazi deminachu me'avucha me'achucha mishtari mago ve'kochavim me'yayin la'alma afilu b'shtia. The letter that the Ri sent to the Rabbeinu Tam is, you know, if a non-Jew touches it, I think we're allowed to drink it, right? And I heard that, and he says, and I heard that in the name of your brother, I heard that in the name of your father, right? Da'achicha Rabbi Shmuel, I'm sorry, right? B'shtia da'achicha Rabbi Shmuel pasak b'shem avicha Rabbeinu Shlomo, because Rabbeinu Shmuel, which is the Rashbam, quotes in the name of the father. Father over here is a term to be used loosely. It means your grandfather. Rabbeinu Shlomo, which is Rashi, da'ovdi kochavim b'zman hazeh, einam chashuva ela ketinak ben yomo. V'ata posek betina ben yomo kishmul, de'islei, de'eno yosei yayin nesach lasar afilu b'shtia. So, and he says, his argument is, this is the Ri writing a letter to Rabbeinu Tam. His argument is, look, you know they don't know about Avodah Zarah. They're ignorant about Avodah Zarah. Therefore, when they touch the wine, it's tinak ben yomo. And in the world of tinak ben yomo, we paskin an argamar like Shmuel that it's not even also b'shtia. The Heishiv lo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam writes a letter back to the Ri. Ki atam shekosav nimal hayalivsok. Like, that's crazy. How could you paskin like Shmuel? V'chos v'shalom shalom ala alibo elavada kamalan karabi yisurei legabi Shmuel. First of all, in our Gemara, it's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Second of all, whenever there's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, in the world of Isurim, this is Isur, this is not money. In the world of Isurim, we pask him like Rav, not like Shmuel. V'tinak ben yoma osa yayin nesach ולאסור בשתייה ועובדי כוכבים בזמן הזה ועדיהם כתינק ביומו כפסק רבנו שלמה וגם אין הלכה כשמוע בעבדים שמלו ולא I'm sorry וגם sorry the וגם is already a new topic within Tosfos. Okay, so Tosfos over here quotes, and we are having an unbelievable discussion in Tosfos. The Bali HaTosfos are discussing what if a non-Jew bizman is in our day, meaning right 11th 12th 13th century France, Germany, if they go in and they touch the wine, what's the status of the wine? And we see very clearly that the Bali HaTosfos quote in the name of Rashi, quotes in the name of Gaonim, it's not Aser Behana, it's only Aser Bishtia, because they're like Tinok. They're like the child who doesn't know anything about Avodah Zarah. Okay? And there was maybe, I don't know if you want to call it a misunderstanding, but there was one of the Bali HaTosfos who says it's not even Aser Bishtia, but Rabbi Natan patently rejects that. That's a rejected Svara. Okay, but good. But what you see from this Tosfos is unbelievable, is that you take a concept in the Gemara talks about a Tinok Ben Yomo, and they said all of our non-Jewish population in the world of Avodah Zarah are like Tinok Ben Yomo. They don't know. They don't know about Avodah Zarah. So when they touch it, it's not Aser Behana, it's only Aser Bishtia. Okay? Just a great discussion in Tosfos about how they deal with the non-Jews of their day. Okay.
Wine was their
that was their commodity. That's what they bought and sold and traded in. Let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, we're going to start again today from the beginning of the story, Hahu Uvda. We are in Zainam and Beis. We're about 7 lines from the bottom of the page. It's the second word in the line. Okay, we started the story yesterday. We're going to continue the story today. Hahu Uvda, Dahava B'Mechuza. There was a story of Mechuza, Atzo V'Kochav Ma'ilach and Nusa. So the non-Jew wants to a store, the Yisrael of a Jew. Amar Lahu Islu Chucham L'Zvune. So, question. You have any wine to sell me? So the Jew looks him right in the eye and he says to him, Amar Leilo. No. No, no wine to sell you.
Sorry. And he said that because he was worried about Yain Nesach?
And the motivation of why he said that, the Gemara is not clear about. I think your speculation is fair. I think it's very fair to say that. But the Gemara is not clear. There was wine right in a bucket somewhere in access, in reachable access to the non-Jew. So the non-Jew put his hand in it, shikh bein, he agitated the wine, and so there. Amar lahu, Hailav Chamrahu, and he says to him, meaning the non-Jew says to the Jewish store owner, Hailav Chamrahu, that's not wine. Right, very good, Phil. That's not wine. Shakle haich berisiche shaja ledana. And what the Jew did, the owner of the store did, is that in his anger, he took the bucket, he grabbed it away from the non-Jew, and he poured it back into his barrels, back in his store.
So just messed the whole thing.
Yeah, well, he did it because he was angry, and you don't explain anger. In other words, when someone's angry, they do things that are not logical, and that wasn't really the smart thing to do.
You're not going to get that.
Right. Correct. But it wasn't smart. Shaye Rava. So now, here we go. Okay, so you got the story down. So the non-Jew agitated the wine. The non-Jew agitated wine because he was agitated. Right? And he was agitated because he was lied to. No, I don't have any wine to sell you. And he saw a season wine and he agitated. And then the store owner, the Jewish store owner, not with any good reason, but just because out of anger, takes the bucket and throws it back into his barrel, back in the back of the store, and he says, no, none for you. Yeah. And
that resulted in that he has to sell it.
So now, like this, okay? So, we have a situation where a non-Jew agitated the wine. He did nisuch to the wine. Now, it's fair to argue that the wine that he agitated is not only he can't drink it, it's aser b'hana, because it was nisuch done to the wine. And now it's fair to argue that the entire barrel is going to be aser b'hana. All points are fair to argue.
Aser b'hana or aser b'shtia?
Aser b'hana. You can all have to get benefit from it because you mixed in this bucket that had aser b'hana wine. Now with a bigger bucket of mutar b'hana wine, but it's a tarovitz, but still. It's fair to argue the whole thing is aser b'hana. So Rava comes up with a chiddush. Sharya Rava lezvun alav de kochavim. So Rava says, you know what? You could sell it to a guy. It's fine. Okay, that is the psak of Rava. So Rava says it's mutar bahana. Now we're not going to give a reason yet. We're not going to explain him yet. We're just going to read on in the Gemara. If lug aleha Rav Huna bar Chinanav Rav Huna bereid Rav Nachman. Two great Amoraim argue with Rava and tell Rava, "You got to be kidding me! It is not mutar bahana. You're not allowed to sell that barrel of wine. You must just destroy the whole barrel." Nafke shipur de Rava v'shara v'nafke shipur de Rav Huna bar Chinanav Rav Huna bar Rav Nachman v'asrei. Shofars went out. Shofars, as we talked about, is where they make proclamations, where they make announcements. They blow on the shofar. It's like, you know, like the introduction of an announcement. And the shofar of Rava went out, and the shofar of Rava announced that wine was asr. The shofar of Rav Huna and Rav Huna, they're both Rav Huna, two different Rav Hunas obviously, went out and said that it's asr. You have a full-blown debate. Okay. Part two of the story. Okay? Again, just let's go through the story first, and we'll come back and we'll try to do some analysis. Part two of the story, we're now on the top of Nun Ches Amud Beis, the first word on the page. Igla Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nachman Mechuza. Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nachman goes to Mechuza, Amle Rava La Rav Eliakim Shame. So Rava says to his attendant Rav Eliakim, Shrok Shrok Gale Delo Naiso Inche Denitred.
I want to hide.
Close the door. Rava says to Rav Eliakim, Rav Eliakim is his attendant, close the door, I don't want anyone to bother me. I don't want to talk to anybody about this. Okay? You can picture the scene. Rava came out with a psak, it's a controversial psak. Now people didn't like what he said, not just people, but Amorayim. And so someone comes at his door, the Bar Plukta, Rav Huna comes to his door, and he says to Rav Eliakim, close the door, I don't want to talk to him. Al Gabay. Okay, but Rav Huna was persistent. Rav Huna got in. Amar like ki hai gavna mai. He says to him, "Well, what's the story over here?" Yeah. Amar like now. I'm sorry. He said to him. Let me be clear about this. Rav Huna says to Rava, "What should be the halacha?" Now listen to what Rava says to Rav Huna. Amar like aser afilu behana. Rava says, "Oh, I know. That wine is Asr Bahana. Was agitated by a non-Jew, it's Asr Bahana." So Rav Huna asks Rava the obvious question. V'hamarhu da'amar shich shech ein oseh yayin nesech. You said that it wasn't yayin nesech. So what are you saying to me right now? Eimer da'amre ana levar midameha. Rava says you misunderstood. What I said is that, no, the bucket, of course, is Asr Behana. That's what I said. Levar midameha, da'u chamra.
Only that amount.
Only that,
not the
that
whole thing.
Right.
The
mei da'u chamra, mi amre. But I'm not talking about that bucket of wine. The bucket of wine, of course, is Asr Behana. But when he takes a small bucket and pours it back into the larger bucket, you can sell the larger bucket with exception to the small bucket of wine that got mixed in. Okay. Now,
how do you know
that? Now, okay. Wait, let me just finish presenting. Now, Rashi over here, there's a couple of things within Rashi that make this story both interesting and confusing. Right? If you look at Rashi, right, I'm presenting the story according to Rashi. Rashi, look at Rashi, Deme Da'u Chamra. Right? This is Rava responding back to Rav Huna. Rava says to Rav Huna, no, the bucket itself is Asr Bahana. I always said that. I never, not the whole barrel, but the little bucket is also, no, that's what I said. Look at Rashi. The Meida Uchama. The Hava Bedavla. Mi Amrina Modina Beit Desarach Laholich Zamav Liyam HaMelech U Demeshar Yayin Shebechav Is Mutter. Look at the next part of Rashi. U Mishum Kisufa Kamar Hachi Aval Iu Kule Shari. Rashi says, you know the truth. You know that's not what he said. Right? You don't have to remember that far back. Just go back to like five lines ago and you'll see. That's not what he said. He said it's mutar bahana. Over here he was embarrassed. Because he knew, Rava knew, that he didn't say it well. And so therefore, when confronted with Rav Huna, who he wanted to leave out of the house anyway, he didn't even want him to come in. And when confronted with Rav Huna, he said, oh, the bucket, of course I meant as Asabana. But Rashi says, you know full well, that's not what he said. And he was embarrassed at this point in time. Now, let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Akiyasa Lepumpadisa Akfa Nachmeni Shmaitata Umasnisa and Asar. Now Rava says that when I went to Pumbedisa, so I was cut down by Nachmeni. Nachmeni is a Abaye, right? Abaye and Rava were both the best of friends and always at each other in terms of being bar pluktas of one another. So Akfa Nachmeni, so Nachmeni cut me down using Shmaitata and Masnisa. Whenever the Gemara says the word Shmaitata, Shmaitata means statements that were made by Amoraim, not based on Mishnah, just statements made by Amoraim. Masnisa, of course, there is anything Tana Idik, either a Mishnah or a Brice or a Tosefta, and using his arsenal of Amoraic statements and Tana Idik statements, cut me down. The Asr, Shmaitata, and again, let's just go through the Gemara, and then I'll come back and we'll revisit a lot of this Gemara. Shmaitata Dov, the Dava Benara Dava Asr Shmuel, the Tavera Vyasr Rav Yochanan. Look, similar events happened in the towns of Narda, and Shmuel, the chief Rav of Narda, says Zaster. Similar thing happened in the town of Tveria. Rav Yochanan, chief rabbi of Tveria, says it's Aser. Ve'amrilei, Lefishainam b'nei Torah. So, and the response was, well, you know, they weren't b'nei Torah. In other words, he was machmir. He, meaning Rav Yochanan, was machmir. And Shmuel was machmir in the towns of Tveria and Nahardah, respectively, because those people lived in those towns, they weren't b'nai Torah, and you needed to be, right, you just needed to be stricter with them. Because you're going to say in this case that it's mutter, right, a non-Jew takes his hand and agitates the wine, you're going to say it's mutter over here, and he's not going to know to make a difference between this case and another case, so you know what? Just came along and said blanket asr. So Amar Li and Nachmeni, Rava says, I'm sorry, Abai says back to Rava, Tveria v'Narda, Einam b'nei Torah, Demechuza b'nei Torah. Wow. Yeah. You're talking about the towns of Tveria and Narda, and you're accusing the population of each town to be Einam b'nei Torah, just not knowledgeable people. Really, and where does that put Mechuza on the map, right? If you're saying they're not b'nei Torah, towns of Narda, Narda had the central yeshiva in Bavel, was the main yeshiva in Bavel. Yeah. And Tveria, of course, is where all the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael lived. Right? Naaman and Amora, and he lived in Tveria in Eretz Yisrael. You tell me that those people aren't B'nai Torah, and now you want to put Mechuza, right, on the map, and you want to put Mechuza over them? That's a ridiculous statement. Okay, so that is a Shmaitata that clearly indicates that Rava is incorrect. Masnisa, and the Gemara says, and what about Mishnayos? So Gemara says a quote. And this is now Abaye continuing battering a Rava on the Psak. Here's a Tosefta. Agar Damim says Rashi are official governments who come in to measure and make sure that your weights and measurements are fair. Right? Nowadays in America we have those. We have those government agents who come into the stores, make sure that the weights are fair weights and measures. So over here, the Agar Damim, and these Agar Damim are not Jewish. Agar Damim ovei kochavim shekadach b'mei nekes v'hala oshetam min hakoz v'echziru l'chavis zehaya maisa v'asruhu. So here we have a story where the government official comes in. Now he's just doing his job. And meanwhile he comes in, he uses a mei nekes. Very cute. Rashi says a mei nekes over here is a straw. Right? Puts a straw into the bucket, sucks it up and drinks it. Now, it is a little bit strange, and Tosos makes this point, that you don't need to drink the wine to measure the wine. So Tosos is bothered by that, but again, let me just deal with the basic structure of the Gemara. So the Tosefta says it's Asr. Now, what are you going to tell me? So, my love, v'hana, lo b'shtia. So, the Gemara says, well, maybe you can tell me that the Tosefta just means that it's aser b'hana, but you're allowed to, sorry, it's aser b'shtia, but you can get hana from it. Gemara says, that's not the correct shot in the Tosefta, and I'll show you why. Because go to the second half of the Tosefta. Cherem o v'kochavim. You have a crazy non-Jew. Cherem, Rashi says, meshuga. Nuts. He's just nuts. He, right? Clinically insane. Shahoshi yad l'chavitz because sefer shal shemen even imtze shal yayin. Zay ha-maisav amru yim acher. So he touches the wine so you could sell the wine. Right? He's insane. He didn't even think it was wine. He's insane. So his contact is not going to make it aser bana, but it will make it aser b'shtia. And therefore you have to sell the wine. Okay, but you see that when the Tosefta wants to tell us that you're allowed to sell the wine, the Tosefta says, sell the wine. Otherwise, when the Tosefta says aser, it means it's aser both b'shtia uvana, to yufta de rava to yufta, as a clear refutation of rava. Okay, now, you got the whole picture of the story now? That's it. That's the end of the Gemara. So the story goes where Rava has an incident where in the town of Mechuzah, a non-Jew, because he was agitated the wine. Question came to Rava. Rava said, it's okay. He wasn't really interested in Nisuch. He did touch it. You can't drink it, but you can sell it. That's what Rava said in response to that case over there. And then we have Rav Huna knocking on the door of Rava. Rava trying to let him out. Right? Don't come in. He comes in anyway. And then we have Abaye attacking him. Now, Rashi does another thing over here, which is a little bit strange. And that is, Rashi takes the Abaye dialogue, the Abaye and Rava dialogue, and moves it in front of the Rav Huna story. Right? And the reason why Rashi does that is because from the Abaye dialogue, Rava realized he's wrong. In other words, Shmaitata and Masnisa, he's wrong. So now when Rav Huna comes in and knocks on the door and says, let's talk about this, Rava knows that he's wrong because the Abaye story happened already. From the Gemara, you don't know this. This is all Rashi saying this. Right? So when Rav Huna knocks on the door, Rava knows already that he's wrong, and that's why his response is, don't let him in. And when he lets him in, he says to him, well, oh, that's excuses. Right. That's not what I said. You misunderstood me. Right? And Rashi says, and he was just embarrassed. And that's why he said that.
Completely correct what he said. I mean, he's still saying that if you take that part out,
yeah, but that's not. But Rashi says that's not what he said. You're right. He could say that, but that's not what happened, and that's not what he said.
Was he supposed
okay.
to do a correction?
Now, huh?
Is he supposed to do a...
So this is the entire Gemara is presented by Rashi. Admittedly, the story that we just were presented in front of us doesn't put Rava in a good light, right? Where he made a mistake, which we all can do, but then Abaye told him that he was wrong. Then Rav Huna comes to speak to him. He says, don't bring Rav Huna in, leave him out. Rav Huna comes in anyway, and he gives stories, and it just doesn't put Rava in a good light. And the other thing that's strange about Rashi, obviously, is this idea that the Gemara presents the sequences to the story, and we're supposed to figure out that the chronology of the story is not as is presented in the Gemara, but rather shift around the chronology of the story where the Abaye-Rava dialogue takes place before Rav Huna comes over to his house. It's just strange.
How could that help? I mean, the fact that Rashi changes that doesn't change anything.
Rashi's not changing anything. Rashi...
But what didn't change is...
Yeah, but it's just strange that if the Gemara is presenting us a sequence of events, you would think that what the Gemara would do is present it to us in the proper chronological order. It's fair. It's a fair assumption in the Gemara. So if you look at Tosas over here, Tosas is bothered by so many, by these very questions. Meaning from Rashi's perspective, the Gemara is strange in that it's not chronologically correct. And also it leaves us with just a funny taste of Rava. Rava's an Amora. And this is how he behaves. Don't let him in. And when he lets him in, he says to him, no, that's not what happened. It's just very strange. And here now, we can't go through the whole Tosfos now. I'm going to highlight, right? He quotes, I'm looking, of course, at the big Tosfos over here. Iklar Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Nachman L'Mechuza. So he quotes, first thing he does, he goes through the whole Gemara like Rashi. And now, let me show you. In the narrow lines in Tosfos, more than halfway down, where the first words in the line are Haigavna v'chule, and now I'm going to start from the word v'chuvos, in Tosfos. Chuvos yesh al girsazu, uperusha. Tosfos says, I have a lot of questions. Chuvos, by the way, here doesn't mean answers. Chuvos over here means questions, like laheshiv. Like, I have a lot of things to respond to the way Rashi's saying this. Chada. Number one. First of all, the Abaye story should have been presented first. Okay, that's number one. Two. The idea that he doesn't want Rav Huna to come into his house and he wants to lock the door so that Rav Huna doesn't come in. Rav Huna's not coming in to hurt him. Rav Huna is coming in to have a discussion, and to lehitvakech, lehitvakech means to argue with one another, but not a bad argument, mm-hmm. You know, a healthy argument. Strange. And it's also strange. Tosfos is bothered by this. You know, he the instructions of Rav were lock the door. It didn't seem like Rav Huna had any resistance coming in. Right? It didn't, the Gemara didn't say dochak v'nichnas. He pushed his way through. The Gemara said ala gabe, which, right, you see enough Gemara, you know that means, and he walked right in. Right? It is a little bit funny that locked the door and Rav Huna just walked right in. That's strange. Right? And also another thing, Tosfos makes a great diuk in the Gemara. He says, I don't want people to come in. What do you mean people? Right? It's Rav Huna that he wants to lock out of the house. So why doesn't the Gemara say, I don't want Rav Huna to come in? He says the word inche, which means people. V'od, mi kesifa le milsa lomar ta'isi beheja, v'chozani bo. Right? We've never seen Rava make an admission of mistake and guilt. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And we have seen in the Gemara with Rava and many other Amoraim, mm-hmm. where they admit having made a mistake. So it's so crazy for him to say, oh, you know what, I made a mistake. All right, Harim Mekam and Mekamas, and he goes on to list numerous places in Shas where mistakes are made. Tosfos just doesn't understand some of the more basic aspects of the story as it's presented by Rashi. Again, we're going to do another drop. We're going to go down in Tosfos.
Where was Huna compared to Rava in terms of authority?
In terms of authority, yeah, so Rava was the head. Rava was certainly the head. Certainly the head of Mechuza. But remember, though, according to Rashi, Abaye already told Rava, you're wrong. So Rav Huna, right?
Rav Huna was a Talmid, or was a contemporary, or what was? I mean, like in the level.
Well, there are different Rav Hunas, obviously. So there's a Rav Huna who's a student of Rav. I don't think that is this Rav Huna. Right? In fact, in the story, there are actually two Rav Hunas: mm-hmm. Rav Huna Bar Chinana and Rav Huna Bar Rav Nachman. Anyway, let me just finish up this one point over here. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there you are. Thank you. Lekach pirishri. Okay? So, Tosfos says, allow me please to give another pshat in the Gemara. Now, in order to give another pshat in the Gemara, what the Tosfos is going to do over here is just change a little bit of the girsa of our Gemara. Okay, so, it's not like, you know, like, he has a lot of strong questions on Rashi. It's not like he's going to offer a better pshat in the Gemara, but he's going to change just one little detail in the Gemara. But I'll tell you what, though. After you see this little change, just a little adjustment, Gemara goes a lot smoother. L'kach pirishri sharya rav lezvun lav de kochavim. Afilu l'yayin ha-mishuchshach mishum de-shichshuch garuah u'shlod eskavim l'shach chich l'nisuch el alishol im yesh yayin. Okay. Number one, Rava realized in the context of the story, the guy agitated, but not agitated because he was really doing nisuch, just agitated because what's this? What's going on over here? What's this? And that's not nisuch, right? And not only that, so in other words, so now it's not also bahana. It's not yai nesach. Now, when that little bucket gets then mixed in with the big barrel,
it's less than 1/6.
So, right? So there's bittul. There's going to be nullification. The hadasra Rabbi Shimon Gamliel beperek basra lechol apachos demei ayayin haynu dafka b'stam yeinam dechamir tvei veinu nispalta b'tar revoso. I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll see later on in the Masechta on Daf Ayin Dalet. There's no bittul, but that's by real Yai Nesach. Here it's not real Yai Nesach. He touched it, but not with Nesach intent. And so therefore it's subject to bittul. Good.
And the assumption is Shisha?
Yeah. The iflug ala Rav Huna bar Chinah v'Rav Huna bar Rav Nachman v'asrei demedamu lei lahayay nesach hamishushach leplug to the Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan the agar damim the susev Rav Aminei, right? And then they said, okay, look, his intent wasn't to be menasech. I don't care. He put his hand in. He agitated the wine. It's going to be yay nesach, right? Meaning even if he didn't actually libate the wine for the Avodah Zarah. But in action, indeed enough, it's considered Yayin Nesach, and that's where Rav Huna argues. Now, we're going to make one little adjustment in the story, and it really helps. The Ikla Rav Nachman L'Mechuza. It's not Rav Huna who went to Mechuza, it was actually Rav Nachman himself. And why does that make the story so much better? Right? The who Rabbo shall Rava, because now it's Rava's Rebbe. Oh.
Yeah.
Rava's not going to say to his Rebbe, leave, keep him out, I don't want him here.
Right?
And Vahalach Rava etzlo l'shol mimenu. And it's not Rav Nachman going to Rava. It's Rava going to Rav Nachman, and Rava going to his Rebbe. Now Rav Nachman saying, Rebbe, what do you think? What should I have done? And now, the next part of the story is also excellent. Because Rava says to Rav Eliakim, his attendant, Shamei, Chokali Achare, Acha She'i Kanes Lefnei Rav Nachman, Delo Lethu Inche Uletardan. When I go into Rav Nachman's office, when I go into his house, I want privacy. So after the door is closed, don't let other people come in. I want a one-on-one with Rav Nachman. Perish kisha eshal mimenu alachazu al ligabe. Perish nichnas Rava lefnei Rav Nachman. And the al ligabe means, that's a description of Rava going into Rav Nachman to meet with his Rebbe. Oh, that takes care of the question Tosfos says. How did you lock the door and he just walk in? So according to the read, that's not what happened.
It's after the fact.
Right? It's right. Rava walked in, and then the door was closed afterwards. I'm like, yeah, Gavna Perish Ire Maisali Adain Mai. I'm like, Asubana Perish Al Yaina Meshachach Hey Shavlova Aliva Didivre. Fine. Okay. Hakol. And it goes on, and we'll have to stop over here in the Tosfos. But you get it. In other words, according to Tosfos. But it requires the gears to change. But according to Tosfos, it's Rav Nachman going to meet with Rava, and it's not that. It's Rava going to meet with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was his Rebbe. And his question was, how should I handle it now? Okay. And of course, according to the Re, then, the story of Abaye takes place afterwards. Because the story of Abaye is Abaye taking on Rava and cutting him down, and using Shmaitata and Mishnayos to prove that he's wrong.
So is it likely that this is misrecorded in the Gemara?
Yes, so according to the Re, correct. According to the Re, this happens often, and it's unfortunate, but the Re says you're going to have to adjust, tweak the gears of the Gemara in order so that it plays out better. Look, we've talked about this before. The Gemara was written by hand for nearly about 1,000 years, copied from one to another. So there are going to be mistakes that creep into the Gemara. And so there are various girsos, various texts of the Gemara. And over here, the Re apparently had a girsa that worked out better in terms of a pshat, in terms of just a simple flow of the Gemara. Okay. All right, let's go on to the Gemara. Six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arza, Rabbi Yossi ben Nahurai, have a yasa v'kashasu chamra. Two Amorim sitting down having a drink of wine, also hu gavra. Along comes a guy, Amru le ta'ashkinan, you mind? If I, you mind if I have a little bit of a drink? So after he poured himself some of the wine, later discovered that he was not Jewish. He was not Jewish.
Did he touch the wine?
He touched the wine.
That's the actual wine or the bottle of the wine?
Well, he poured the wine.
He poured it for them.
It was a waiter.
Yeah.
They thought it was Jewish.
But okay. He poured the wine.
Right.
All right, now what do you do here? All right. So we have two opinions, and they are the extreme of one another. And Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, you know what? In this particular case, I can see both sides of the equation. Manda asar, meimar amar, salka daite derabbanan kihani shichra. Kashasu, elavade hachamrehu, v'naschei. We are now trying to prognosticate. What did he know before he picked up that the bottle of wine to pour the bottle of wine? So the opinion that says that it's us about not means that when he picked up the bottle of wine, he knew full well that that was wine, right? Rashi writes on the very top of the page. Sakadaita derabbanan chashiva kihai. Shasu Shichra. These prominent rabbis are sitting down and having a beer.
Only Americans.
Right.
In the middle, right?
They're not. This is not a ball game over here. They're not having a beer. Elavadai chamrahu. Right. If the rabbis are sitting down and drinking, they're having wine. Now it's true that he poured it. But the Gemara says, but we're concerned that while he had the wine in his hand, he put his hand in there and he agitated a little bit. Now, we weren't looking because when he said, can I have the wine, can I pour you? So they assumed at the time that he was Jewish and they didn't know any better, and so therefore they weren't looking. So that's the sad to say that it's not only also, but also Bahana. What's the other sad? Three lines down now on Nun Chesamad Beis. Man Deshari Shapi Shari Meimar Amar Sakadecha Derabban Kihani Chamer Kashasu VeAmar Leila Didi Ta Ashkinan Elavan Deshichru Kashasu VeLo Naschei. So when he picked it up, he in his mind was thinking at the time, this is not wine, but rather this is beer.
So when ask him,
right?
Why
would they ask him to pour? If it's wine, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew that it's wine. It must be beer. There's no issue of a non-Jew touching beer. And so that's why when he touched it, it was a total incidental contact with the bottle of wine, and therefore it's nothing. It's not Yai Nesech, it's not even Aser B'Shtia, it's fine, it's totally fine. So the Gemara says, Gemara has just a couple of short punctuated questions. The HaKachazeh, the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Beer versus wine, look inside. So the Gemara says, Belila. Story happened at night, couldn't see. The HaKamarachle, you smell it, right? You have a good bottle of wine, you smell it, you know what wine smells like. Bechadata, it's fresh. So the wine is fresh, and it doesn't give off a strong odor. Vahakanagabe, well, he touched it. How can you argue? How can you make the argument that it's okay? You're allowed to drink it. He touched the wine, and the Gemara's answer is binatla. He took it in a kli. He never actually touched the wine itself. He took it in a kli. By the way,
is that like the lulav?
No. Hakanagebe?
But he did it with a
ladle.
He touched it anyway.
No, but
that's part of the question.
No, but is that like with the lulav?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're right. Right. I'm sorry. You're right. The hakanagebe benatla. Right, he took it with a cleave, and now you have the contact of a non-Jew, even the shelo bekavana. So the Gemara says, no, he just poured it, kocho is nothing. A couple things over here on this Gemara. Number one, you remember yesterday, we had the non-Jew coming down the tree, the palm tree. And according to the gears that we have in our Gemara, he touched the wine with a palm branch. And I told you yesterday that Tosfos had a tough time with that Gemara. What do you mean? He touched it with a palm branch. That's kocho. So how? And the Gemara over there said that that wine is usher. And over here, the Gemara says if he didn't touch it directly with his hands, that's nothing, right? That's not usher b'shtiyah. It's not usher b'anah. It's nothing. Wine is totally fine. So I mentioned yesterday that's why Tosfos, when he got to that Gemara, said can't be, right? We got to work on the gears in the Gemara, and Tosfos changes the gears. So we're over there when he was coming down the palm tree, he actually touched the wine with his hand because kocho, just an indirect touch, meaning he caused the wine to move, but he didn't touch the actual wine. But that's nothing. That's not an issue.
So what's the problem?
Another
way to.
Pouring wine. So the pouring of the wine is an issue. But in other words, if he's holding the wine and it's opened, you don't know if he touched it or he didn't touch it. Right, but if you have to see it from the beginning to the end. In other words, but if he goes back. Kocho means his strength. His force. That's number one. Number two, the other thing I want to just point out is natla, right? Natla is a kos, it's a kli, it's a vessel, right? The Rush brings this down, the bracha that we make when we wash our hands in the morning is al netilas yadayim. It's a strange way to formulate a bracha, washing of the hands, right? The netila does not mean washing. So the Rush writes over there, you know what that means, al netilas yadayim? That when you wash your hands, you have to wash your hands with a kos. The word netila actually comes from this Gemara over here. The Rush quotes this Gemara over here. It's Natla. Natla is a kos. That's the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Henceforward, now you know, every time you make the bracha, when you wash your hands, both in the morning and before bread, you'll now know, Al Netilas Yadayim. Netila is an Aramaic word. It actually means cup, because you have to wash with a cup. Okay. All right. By Mine, let's do a little bit more for this morning.
That clock is wrong.
I know. I was thinking to myself. I was thinking to myself, this is great. No, it's not moving.
7:59.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's great. How does? Can we do this?
No, sorry, it's my fault. I found it down on the table, so maybe that's why they took it out.
It needs a battery change. Okay, fine. I'll tell you what. This is fine. It's a good place to stop. Okay, good. Tomorrow, we'll start the discussion tomorrow with what if the guy does nitzuch because he's angry at you. Similar to what we saw yesterday. But he wants to, in other words, he comes in just because he wants to mess you up. Okay? We'll start that discussion tomorrow. Okay? See you then in Tosfos.
No,
okay.